with his
All right. All right.
kind of exchange of
In honor of Shavuot,
one object
or post Shavuot, I want to talk about special mitzvah
that's
dear to all of us,
but
which
really
is each week we
speak
generally
so
about one mitzvah,
sometimes
do more than one, but this week I want to speak a little bit about the mitzvah of
the
Talmud Torah, of learning Torah. Famously, we know that at Har Sinai, the people, the Jewish people, our ancestors said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. And we know this was a great moment, and traditionally understood that what was great about it was we said, you know, but we'll do it before we even hear what it is, no questions asked, we're going to follow the Torah. The Beis HaLevi has another approach, beautiful idea. So he starts off, he says that the way that the Gemara says it, the way that it refers to it, is Bishashi Dino Yisrael Nasim Nishma. At the time that the Jewish people were Makdim, which means like Kodan, before. So when they placed Nasim before Nishma, so then they had this great reward, 60,000 angels came down and gave them crowns and the whole description in the Gemara. But he says, what's this idea that they, that the, what was so great was that they said it before? Now, again, I think the simple approach also answers that question, which is, because they said we'll do it before they said that we'll hear. And that's, you know, they again, no questions asked. They were Makdim. They said, nah, said before Nishma. They said, we'll do it before we hear what it is. So that's what, why it's the order that made it so great. But he wants to take a different approach. So he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says that Nasa means be'uvdin tavin, with good deeds, and Nishma means be'pizgam and doraisa, with the words of Torah. That Nasa will do refers to the action, the mitzvot. And Nishma means we'll study the Torah. And again, I think if you take the traditional approach, it still makes sense that Zohar fits in, where they said, we'll do the mitzvot, and we'll learn about them afterwards, we'll study Torah also.
How do you know you're doing the right mitzvot? You haven't learned them yet.
Very good, very good. So that's exactly what the Beis HaLevi said. That when they said Nasa, we'll do the mitzvah. So he says, let's take a step back. There's two aspects to studying Torah. One is that you need to, in order, like you're saying, to do the mitzvah, you need to learn Torah.
You
gotta know what you're doing. That's one aspect. Even women who generally don't have a mitzvah, of an obligation to learn Torah, but they do have an obligation to learn Torah so that they know, you know, for the mitzvahs that they have to do. They do have an obligation to learn Torah to make sure that, again, that they know what they're doing, the mitzvahs that they are obligated in. But there's another aspect to learning Torah, and that is that sort of what we'll describe as learning for the sake of learning itself. Just the mitzvah itself of studying Torah, not necessarily to know how to do a specific mitzvah. You're not necessarily even going to do that mitzvah in your lifetime. But there's still a mitzvah of learning Torah itself. He says, the Gemara says that in Menachos, that Ben Dama asked Rabbi Shmuel, he says, someone like me, who's learned the whole Torah already, so should I go learn Greek, Chochma Yevan, Greek wisdom? I've learned the whole Torah already, and maybe I can move on to the next thing now. So Rabbi Shmuel said, go outside and find a time that's not day and that's not night, and then you'll spend that time, you know, studying other things. And because there's a mitzvah to learn Torah, even if you know the whole Torah, you still have a mitzvah to learn Torah. Even if you've learned the whole thing. You know how to do all the mitzvahs. You've learned it all already. But there's still a mitzvah. Because there's this other aspect of learning just for for the learning itself, it's a mitzvah on its own, just like, you know, you name it, shaking a lulav, mitzvah. So learning Torah is a mitzvah in itself, just the study itself. So says the Beis HaLevi, if they had said, nishma v'naseh, we'll learn, and we'll do. So then I would have said, what they're committing themselves to do is really to do the mitzvot. And along with that, in order to do the mitzvot, you first have to learn about them, right? So nishma, we'll learn the mitzvot, we'll learn the Torah. V'naseh, we'll do the mitzvot, right? But that wouldn't show that they're committing themselves to learn Torah just for the sake of, just for the learning itself. But since they didn't say that, since they said, Naaseh v'nishma, we'll do the mitzvot. So, like Rich said, you can't just, if you're coming to do the mitzvot, then you're committing to also learn about them first. Because how else are you going to do the mitzvot? So when they said Naaseh, what they were saying is, we'll do the mitzvot, and we'll learn how to do them, in order to do them. And also, secondly, besides for that nishma, we'll also just learn, we'll listen, we'll learn Torah on its own, for the learning itself. And that was what was the great statement, he says, was Naaseh was a commitment to the mitzvot and to learn how to do them, to learn Torah for the sake of doing the mitzvot, and nishma, and also an additional commitment to do the mitzvot, to learn Torah just for the learning itself. The Gemara says in the Darim that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash, because Shavuot Baruch Hu Batarah Tzila. The pasuk actually, one of the Nevi'im, I'm not sure which one, it says, Ma of the Haaretz, for what was the land destroyed? Azva Mes Torasi, for abandoning my Torah. So the Gemara says, what was that? What did they do? And it says, Shavuot Baruch Hu Batarah Tzila. They didn't make the blessing on learning Torah before. The blessing, Birkas HaTorah, which one is supposed to say before they learn Torah, really we say in the morning, and they weren't making that bracha, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, why wouldn't they make Birkas HaTorah? So why wouldn't they make that bracha on learning Torah? So the Ram says, because they didn't give enough chashivos, they didn't give enough consideration, significance, the mitzvah of studying Torah, and they didn't feel that, you know, it deserved, it needed a necessitating a bracha before it. So, Beis HaLevi, based on what he's describing now, he explains, he suggests that why wouldn't they, you know, give enough chashivos? What does it mean they didn't consider it important enough to deserve a bracha? So he says that their attitude was an attitude of the only reason I'm learning Torah is in order that I know how to do the mitzvah. Well, if that's the case, then the Torah study isn't a mitzvah in itself. It's really what we would call a hefter mitzvah. It's something to prepare you to do a mitzvah. When you're a part of a mitzvah, that's the preparation, that's just the process to get ready for the mitzvah, doesn't get a bracha usually. You make a bracha on the mitzvah itself, but you don't make a bracha on the extra mitzvah, on the parts that prepare you to do the mitzvah.
So you're saying a bracha on a bracha, right? You wouldn't do that.
Right. So they, he says,
But the bracha is a separate mitzvah,
and yes, they don't necessarily...
Birkas HaTorah?
Yeah.
Actually, Rabbi Silver gave a whole shiur on that, on Yantif.
I only got about half of it.
Okay, so it came out that it's a machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam. To dispute there whether it is a separate mitzvah or it's included in the mitzvah of learning Torah. But the Beis HaLevi is saying that they considered it just a hefter mitzvah, just something to prepare yourself to do a mitzvah. In order to do any of the other mitzvahs, you have to first learn Torah. That's the mitzvah of learning Torah. And so it's just a preparatory, therefore it doesn't get a bracha, and that's why they didn't make the bracha. When in fact, okay, and they were pious because of this, in fact, they weren't giving the mitzvah of Torah study enough significance. In fact, Beis HaLevi is saying nishma means that we're going to learn Torah just for the sake of learning Torah, and and that was, and certainly it gets him a bracha, it's a mitzvah in itself, and that two aspects of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's one aspect is that we learn Torah in order to know how to do the mitzvah, and another is just for the mitzvah of learning Torah itself.
What does Talmud Torah mean?
Talmud Torah means learning Torah, so teaching Torah. Literally,
learning and teaching Torah.
Yeah,
if
Talmud.
Yeah,
not just
grammatically,
it's the learning or the teaching, but. But,
so even
doing
something worth
does the word Talmud mean to teach or to learn?
$5,000 is not going to be it's going to be gnai for her. So why didn't Gemara raise that issue? So
I have another question.
I think it means learning, because you say something Sarach Talmud, something needs further learning.
But if it is a gift.
Okay. In general, yeah, when we talk about Talmud Torah, we're talking about Torah.
Right. Well, so Rashi,
it's interesting, once we're on the topic,
so
the mitzvah of learning Torah, where it appears in the Torah, is actually in the context of teaching Torah. At least according to the Chinuch. The Chinuch, where he talks about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is the mitzvah of. He says it's a mitzvah saseh, there's a positive commandment. Lilmod chachmas haTorah, to learn the wisdom of Torah, ulamda, and to teach it. Kulamar, meaning, how do we do the mitzvahs? And keep them. To know the laws of the Torah. That's the Shinantam Livanecha. He refers to the pasuk that we say in Shmaim, the parsha of Shmaim, parsha of Chanan, where it says the Shinantam Livanecha, you should teach it to your. To your children, to your sons, and Chazal say on that, it's your banecha, your sons, you refer to your students, and they also learn from this pasuk that it has to be available, ready on the tip of your tongue, that if somebody asks you a question, you know how to answer it, and it also says, "Aser b'li maditam osam," and also in Shema we say, and you should, again, you should learn them. There's also teach, actually, "b'li maditam osam," that's the Echem, you should teach your son. And he quotes numerous places where there's this referencing, and generally it happens to be that it's in the context of teaching it, but certainly there's a mitzvah, there's a part of the mitzvah is the learning itself, and part of it is teaching it as well. Now the Chinuch, you come to the shir, you'll get used to hearing the sefer of the Chinuch, because he gives the reason for every mitzvah, and that's really what we focus on in the shir, is to try to get the reasons behind mitzvah. So what does the Chinuch say is the shorash, is the root of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? He says it's yadua, it's known, pretty obvious, right? You need to learn the Torah like we're saying, or to know how to do the mitzvah. The way that he says it is, b'limud yeda ha'adam darchei Hashem yisbarach. Through Torah study, a person will know the ways of Hashem. V'zulasto, and without it, lo yeda v'lo yadin. You won't know and you won't understand. The next of kibahema, and he's thought of, and he's considered like a behema, like an animal. Very strong statement. He doesn't learn Torah, he's considered like an animal. Now, we spoke about, when we talked about Sfirah HaOmer, the process that a person goes through during the time of Sfirah HaOmer, that the Marsha says that on Pesach, we bring a Karban Omer, which is a Karban made from barley, which is animal feed, and on Shavuos, we bring the Se'al Echem, which is from wheat, and that's the development from, like, being, coming out of Mitzrayim and being like animals. At Pesach time, we bring the animal feed as our carbon, and the development that we go through during the 49 days of the Omer until we're ready to receive the Torah at Har Sinai, when we've reached, you know, now we're men, now we've made ourselves great, elevating ourselves during those 49 days, developing ourselves through Torah study.
We're not learning.
I don't think, I want to suggest that that's not what the Chinuch is referring to here. when he says that without Torah, you're nefesh
kibbehema.
I shouldn't say it's not what he means, but I wanted to just maybe give it a little bit of a deeper suggesting of what it might mean. There's a very interesting pasuk and chazal in Parshas Vayikra.
Because by Kesef it says Kiva, the Zereshav is in a Kesef of Sadek, Tachni Nani. Here's the Kesef, take it. So it's
Pasuk is in Zvarim Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Beis.
So
the Pasuk is talking about the Torah, and how the Torah is accessible.
It's in Parshas Nisavim.
Says, Lo Basamayim Hi. The Torah is not in heaven, Lamor, that one we have, would say, Mi Ala Elanu Asamayim of Yisachel Lanu. Who will go up to the heavens and get it for us? The Ashmeinu of Sa, Chichitas, Vinasena, and that we could do it. The Lomaidra Layoni, it's not across the sea. Lamor, that one would say, Mi Aver Lanu, El Aver Hayam, who will cross the sea? The Kachel Lanu, and get it for us. The Ashmeinu of Sa, Vinasena, and Chichitas, and then we'll do it. It's not fair. Kikarove Lecha, Dover Meod, it's very close to you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart to do it. It's accessible. You don't have to travel far to go get it. Rashi says here, quoting the Gemara in Erevin, Lo Bashamayim, it's not in the heaven. She'ilu Haisa Bashamayim, because if it was in the heaven, you would have to go up to the heavens to get it and to learn it. The Gemara in Erevin. And the question is, what does that mean? What is the Gemara trying to tell me? I would have to go, what? It wants me to if I didn't, it's telling you, by the way, theoretically, if you didn't have a Torah, you'd have to try to, you know, build a rocket ship to get somehow get into the heaven to go and get it, if it was in the heaven. What is the Gemara trying to tell me? That what are Chazal, what are the sages telling me? If it was in the heaven, you'd have to go and get it. So, the Matisyahu Solomon, quoting someone, an abbreviation I didn't recognize, says as follows, imagine, you know, somebody buys you presents, you know, get it in the mail, comes in an Amazon box, and you open it up, and it's some interesting contraption, some kind of machine, and you see it, and it looks, you know, it looks like it's an amazing machine. It looks like it's going to be very useful, but you can't actually tell what it does or how to work it. So, you're looking at it, and you realize, you know, there obviously is a manual somewhere in the box.
Or in the cloud.
Or in the cloud. Go online and download it.
In heaven.
Is a factor.
You promise. You promise it. So you look in the box, right, and sure enough, there's an annual. Because, of course, something so complex and amazing isn't, you know, it must have a purpose, and it must have a guide to how to use it. So he says the same thing with the, you know, Hashem created this amazing world. And obviously, there's a purpose to it. And obviously, there's a manual somewhere. He's not just going to give us this world and say, you know, figure out how to use it or what to do with it. There has to be a manual. There has to be a guidebook to how to use this world, what to do in this world. So, because that's what the sages are telling you. They're not saying that, you know, that you actually have to go up to the heavens to find it. But they're saying that there has to be one. There has to be, if you didn't have the manual, if you didn't have it, then you have to go looking for it, because there has to be one. Hashem are fortunate to be among those who have that manual. We have the Torah. We have our guidebook what to do in this world. If we didn't have it, right, then we would be wandering blindly around trying to figure out what to do on our own, like so many others. And we have, we still do, but obviously society would be having an influence on our opinions and whatever the Vegas thing out of Hollywood is, and whatever the politicians are saying and whatever the celebrities are saying. And we think that they're our own opinion, when we're just being dragged along by whatever the societal, you know, occasionally you'll get someone who goes against the grain, you know, but in general we'd be completely influencing what our world outlook should be by those around us, and of course by our own inner feelings and desires would be guiding us, guiding our opinion, and hive us our desires, and we'd be left to debate in courtrooms what's moral and what's immoral, and it would be, you know, just our own opinions that we, what we think are our own opinions, but the opinions that have been impressed on us by those around us, and that's where we would be. But no, so we don't have to do that. We're fortunate to have a Torah. We have Hashem directly through the Torah, telling us, you know, what's right, what's good and what's not, what's evil, what's right and what's wrong, and what our goals should be, and what we should do with this world. And I believe, and perhaps, that that's what the Sefer HaSinuch means, that if we, that if you don't learn Torah, then Nesef Kebehema, then you're left like an animal. Because an animal just follows its own desires. It doesn't really have, it, you know, it doesn't have like a complex thinking process. And it basically, you know, either follows the other animals or it follows its own stomach. And that's how it makes its decisions. And effectively, without a Torah, a person is making decisions with their stomach or with their, you know, based on their desires and based on what everyone else is doing and what everyone else thinks. And that's perhaps how we can understand this line of Nesef Kebehema. I think it does relate to what I was talking about in terms of that development process of Sfirat HaOmer, where when we come out of Mitzrayim and we don't have Torah yet, we've been influenced by the Egyptians, right? Because I'll say that we were tremendously influenced by them. And at that point, we're like behemoths. We're following our desires. We're not able to we don't have a guide yet. And then we spend 49 days during that time learning and developing and preparing to really be makabel to accept the Torah at
Shavuot.
That's one time. The other point that the Sefer HaSinuch makes here is that the limud through learning Yeda HaAdam Darchei Hashem Yisbarach, he'll know the ways of Hashem. He'll know the ways of Hashem. Seemingly what he means is he'll know how to do the mitzvot. He'll know how to do the mitzvot, right? Now, but he doesn't say that exactly, right? He says he'll know the ways of Hashem. I'm not really planning on focusing on this, but that is, I think, one outlook on morality in general is, and the mitzvot is that we are trying to emulate Hashem. The ways of Hashem, that the mitzvot are meant to teach us to emulate, right? That's a mitzvot that appears throughout the Torah many times, to go in his ways, to go in Hashem's ways, to emulate the attributes of Hashem.
That's actually kind of interesting, because whenever something happens that we can't explain, we say no one understands God, no one understands what the plan is, no one understands all that. But it's that, you know, we'll know the ways of God, right?
So it's an
interesting.
That's what you're thinking.
Interesting claim, yeah. Like with the ways of, like, you'll know the ways. Or, so it's interesting. What exactly does that? When you ask that, when someone says, no one understands why God makes this happen.
Right.
Does that relate to this?
So I wasn't thinking of it in that way. The ways of Hashem, meaning the why, you know, why things happen the way that they do. I was thinking it more of like the past of Hashem,
the
attribute.
And the Mara responds that no, he asher, the king and the caliph, and he
saw. So I know, I guess it may become clear in a moment why I assumed like that. We say, we learned in a couple of weeks ago,
it's
Parsha.
It's impossible that it's included.
The very end of Sefer Vayikra. So the very first pasuk says, "Im bechukotai teilechu." If you'll go in my chukot, my statutes, v'es mitzvotai tishmeru, and you guard my mitzvot, v'asisem osam, and you do them, then, and it starts listing off all the rewards. Then says, if you don't do that, it lists all the punishments. So Rashi, quoting a medrash on the very first word, "In bechukotai teilechu," if you'll go in my way. In my statute, says Rashi, Yachol Zekiyu Mitzvot. Maybe this refers to fulfilling mitzvot. You go in my statutes, that sounds like fulfilling mitzvot, right? You fulfill the mitzvot. But then the very next words are, Ves mitzvotai tishmeru, and you guard my mitzvot. So obviously, in the Chukotai Teilechu is not referring to fulfilling mitzvot. That's the very next word, Ves mitzvotai tishmeru. So, mani the kind in the chukotai teilechu. So then, what is the beginning of the pasuk referring to? If you go in my statutes, says Rashi, shetiyu amnelim b'Torah, that you should be amnelim, you should toil in Torah, invest effort into Torah study. That's what in the chukotai teilechu means. You'll go in my statutes. It means to be amazing by Torah, to not just
the drasha was about text.
Study, no, not just
we
learn Torah, but to really invest ourselves in it and to toil.
That's
what
Rashi
says.
We can
now,
move,
the question that all the commentaries deal with, and by all I mean some of the commentaries deal with, is, okay, very, I understand what pushed Rashi in that direction. I must not mean,
right?
You know, it must not mean
doing
mitzvot, because that's what it says
in
the next, very next word.
But
how does Rashi get to that it means to toil in Torah? Maybe it means just to learn Torah. You know, where does the Medrash really get this from, that it means to toil in Torah? So we have a number of different suggestions for this. No, you're right. Oh, so you're saying that there is no such thing as learning Torah without toil.
Yeah, if you're not having trouble with it, if you're not thinking about it and wondering what exactly it means and trying to figure it out, and if you're not doing that, then you're not really doing it the way you should be.
That may be true, but I guess the idea is that just saying to, I mean, in that case, Rashi could have also just said to learn Torah, because the learning means toiling, by definition. So we have a number of suggestions. So, the Sam Dara, I think that's how you pronounce it, written by the Simcha Zissel Broida, who was a Rosh Hashiva in Yeshiva Chevron, I believe. So he says that it's learned from the term Teilechu, that you'll go. In the Chukotai Teilechu, you'll go in my statutes. And we don't find the word go, halicha, by just regular learning. But by a melech, by toiling in Torah, we do find it. He says, for example, the Gemara says, what does the pasuk mean in Yirmiyah when it says, "Miha isha chacham biyaving azot"? Who is the wise man who understands this? Davar zeh is actually the okay, Davar zeh nishal lachachamim. They asked the question to the Chachamim. This is actually the Gemara that I was referring to before, incidentally. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they asked, how can we understand this? Like you were saying, how can we understand these events? They asked all the Chachamim and the Nevi'im, the prophets, and they couldn't explain it until Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, said, explained it over there in Yirmiyah, as the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem," and Hashem said, "Al ozvam es torasi, shenasati b'shneim, on your abandoning the Torah that I placed before you, Vilgo Shamu Bikoli, and you didn't listen to my voice, Vilgo Ho Chuba, and you didn't go in it. And the Gemara asked, what is the difference between, and you didn't listen to it, Vilgo Shamu Bikoli, Vilgo Ho Chuba? What is the difference between those two? You didn't listen to my voice and you didn't go in it, in its ways. What's the difference? So that's where the Gemara says, what it means is, Eng Levarchim Batara Tchila. I referenced before in the Beis Halevi quoted, that they didn't make the blessing on Torah before.
It also sounds very similar to doing it learning it, you know, like doing it just for the sake of doing it, and then like doing it because it's
what the word is,
like with Kavana or something, or like
knowing
how important it is, yeah.
Living it.
Right, exactly. Instead of there's a difference between like
You're walking.
Yeah, exactly. You're not just doing the mitzvah. You're doing it, and you understand why you're doing it, and you need to do it, and it's like a higher level of observing it.
Okay, good. So the Taz explains that
not work the free head because there's only three ways: either cast a star or rotate a
The Taz explains that Torah, in order for it to be niskayamet, for it to remain with a person, so you have to, he says, kill yourself over it. That's also based on another Chazar. You have to toil in it to have discussions and get involved. And he quotes, there are pasuk in the Sukkosai Teleichu, if you'll go in my statue. He says, as opposed to those who learn Torah, you know, comfortably, and they don't invest themselves in it, so then he says it won't last with them. And he says that's why, and he ties it into this other pasuk in Yirmiyah, which the Gemara was calling the Lohokuba, they didn't go in its ways. He says that means They didn't involve themselves in Torah. Derech maso matzam shel tilpul hamisyaches v'halicha. They didn't involve themselves in give and take and discussion, which is like going. That may be sort of along the lines of what you were saying, that it's a higher level of involvement to be going in it. You know, to make it a part of you, to get up out of your seat a little bit and discuss it. You know, and really invest yourself in it.
Is the definition of toil give and take and discussion? How would you define toil?
That's what the Taz seems to be defining it. I think I saw someone else who gave another
definition.
Our first announcement
here of who cares if it's
Khalifin
is cast back
forth
its own kingdom. So the
Ravid
here is basically saying,
Khalifin works.
I don't remember
which. Are we toiling right now?
Yes, you're asking me a question here. You're getting involved, and you're taking notes. So that's you're toiling. You know, you're not falling asleep because you're not involved. I think so.
You're not falling asleep is yours. It's because of you. It's good.
Okay, good. I'm happy to hear. So. Yeah, so, and he says, he's sizing, why was the result that they didn't make the blessing on Torah? Because the blessing on Torah is la'asok v'divrei Torah. To, I mean, there's other parts there also, as we talked about on Shavuos, but one of the brachos is la'asok v'divrei Torah, to be osik, which means to involve yourself in words of Torah. And that is, like you're saying, it's involvement. And they weren't involving themselves. So they didn't make the... They weren't throwing themselves in. They weren't being omel. They weren't toiling. And therefore, they didn't make that blessing. Now, this we could, now, if we want, we could tie the Beis Halevi in with this. I don't know, you know, maybe stretch, but Beis Halevi explained this Gemara to mean that they weren't learning for the sake of learning itself, and rather just to do the mitzvot, And the Taz is saying that what they were doing was they weren't toiling. So, I'm not sure. We could maybe say that that when you're learning from learning itself, so then you become more involved. You know, it's not like, okay, once, you know, I know that halacha, then I'm good. I want to know everything about it. I want to question it. I don't just need the conclusion, you know, tell me what to do and have a nice day. I want to understand. I want even the things that aren't relevant to me, I want to understand. I want to know, because I have a bikush of, I'm a seeker of the, you know, of the truth and of the Torah.
So
maybe we could tie those together. Just a thought.
A third thought, which is not, perhaps not too related, but it says, my law, right? If you follow my law, you know, but if you don't say the blessing of it, then, like, when you say blessing for something, right, like when you see a rainbow or a light, or eat food, or you thank God for forgiving it, for creating it, for all of that, right? But if you study Torah and you don't say a blessing, you're not giving
you're not relating it back to source as much.
Yeah, exactly. You're
not, learning
you're
saying,
it's a thing, and I'm studying it. You're not saying this is God's law. You're following, you know, he's saying this is my law. So by saying that, you're giving. This is a little bit of a too base a way to say it, but you're not giving God credit for it. You're not. It's no longer a.
Well,
it's no longer a holy thing.
You're not connecting, right? You're not connecting to it.
So
you know, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, when I daven, so I speak to God. When I study Torah, God speaks to me. But if you're not, right, so you're suggesting that when you make the bracha before you're acknowledging and you're reminding yourself that God is speaking to me now. You know, this is the real deal, and perhaps that leads itself to A, learning it just for the sake of learning it, because it's God's word after all, like, and secondly, it leads you to really invest yourself in it, because this is God's word, everything ties together beautifully.
Normally,
very nice.
Somebody who has something, if I own an object, only leaves my results by my deciding.
So he says, but that's, so you see from that Gemara and that pasuk in Yirmiyah, well, Hokuba, they didn't go in it, means that they didn't take the blessing before. That's what how the Gemara interprets that. And which the Torah says means that they didn't respect it. Sorry, that they didn't toil in it, and that's why they didn't make the blessing. Because the blessing says to involve yourself in it, and they weren't doing that. So that is where you have a source for this concept that, or another example, really, where going in the ways of the Torah means toiling in Torah study.
There can't just be a thing you do, you have to intuit.
Yeah.
I don't consider this toiling too much. I mean, as far as difficulty, I think learning the Gemara is very much toiling.
Property of the buyer without the buyer having
really. I mean, like I laid out on two nice of silver platter.
I mean, it's very straightforward. I mean, obviously you put a lot into it. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's very like straightforward. We don't have to work to understand this so much.
Okay.
It's the concepts are made clear for us.
You're just a smart guy. So that's all it is.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who would not be able to get this, believe me.
Okay.
I'm a teacher. I believe me. There are a lot of people who would not be able to. But this is. I think this is toiling.
You're getting involved. That's the point. It's not. It doesn't have to be hard to toil, but it has to be that you're thinking and you're processing and you're asking and you're getting involved. That's what it really means.
Toil is like the 18th century or 19th century English literature version of it. You know, it's a big word to describe what's going on.
Seemingly that
very flowery. As long as you're pushing yourself a bit.
I think that's
what this is getting at. Right? You're not just taking it at face value. You're understanding why. Like all these, this goes into it, and this goes into it, and this goes into it, and this goes into it. You get a whole view, a holistic view of what's going on. I think that qualifies.
So I want to just share one more idea about this. Another approach to,
there's also
a couple of ideas that tie together. So the
am I giving it to you and you're understood, you have to give it back to me. So that's going to be, you know, an important point in this discussion. You know, how serious is when I give you the cedar? Is that, you know, just, you know, a symbolic thing?
There's another question, which is really what, like,
or are you keeping
sort of got me on this topic
you,
the first,
we'll
you know, when I first came
across
this question, because I like to talk about time and mitzvot, the reasons behind mitzvot. And I also like to talk about mitzvot that we call chukim, which don't have reasons, which really do have reasons, but they don't, and like whatever. So we got into that sometime. So here, Amelus Batorah is described as in the chukosai teilecho. If you'll go in my statue, but it describes this mitzvah as a chok. And generally, a chok is a mitzvah that we don't really understand, you know, the reason for it or how it works. So Torah study, Amelus Batorah is being described as a chok. Right, those chukas haTorah, right, introduces paraduma, which is like the ultimate hope that we don't understand how it works. The red heifer, but so here we have in bechukosai teilechos. You'll go in my statutes, and we're saying that refers to Torah study. But like we said, what not to understand about Torah study? We said, of course there's a Torah. How else are you going to know how to what to do in this world? You need a Torah. There must be a manual somewhere, and you have to study it. It's very logical. So what about Torah study makes it described as a hope, as a, you know, one of these. We don't, a mitzvah that we don't understand.
So
this will suggest that what makes it a chok is, what makes it a chok means like it's beyond our understanding. What makes it beyond our understanding is not necessarily, right, that we understand the idea of learning Torah, why, the purpose of it, but there's an aspect of it which we don't understand, which is how it can have such an effect on a person that Torah study, Amelus, toiling, it can change a person, it can elevate a person, and it's not necessarily explicable. It's not necessarily related to what you learned. A person can be learning Gemara and be learning about oxen goring, and we know what some obscure thing, but still be growing because he's involved in Torah study. And the Torah itself elevates the person. And that is what makes it a chok. It's not something we understand. It's not explainable in basic human terms, scientific terms. It's a chok. We don't really understand it, but just being involved in Torah studies can elevate a person. And can change our midos, can develop us, and really that also relates to the word teilecho, you should go, because this is pointed out by Rav David Cohen, current Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva, who explains that the pasuk says in Tehillim, I'm going to place mehalchim, goers, between the standard. Goers, walkers, between those who are standing still. And who are those who are standing still, and who are the walkers? So the malachim, the angels, they're standing, they're called omdim. They're called standing, because they don't develop, they don't change. They follow the will of Hashem, and that's it. And they're kind of robotic. They can't grow. But people are mehalchim, people grow, people develop, and they fall, and they get up again. I think Rabbi Rosenbaum maybe spoke about this sometime recently. And we get up again, and we're traveling, we're moving, we're hopefully growing.
And
that pasuk, it is
now that it got burned, So I'm going to say, I'm going to give you a hard time about paying up. I'm going to, you know, you're going to have to drag me to court and whatever it is. And
it's sorry, it's in Zechariah.
In order to save yourself
in
trouble,
Zechariah.
If you see my object being the thing that I bought for trouble, you'll, you know,
and
you'll
that's just how the Ramchal explains it. Explains the difference between a cursing and
the
Mara is that, and that's why Hashem gave us the Torah and not the Malachim, because we can develop, we can grow, it has a use for us, and through the Torah study, we are constantly, we're moving along, and we are developing. And that's also
so
the chukosai teilechu, if you'll
go
in my statute, meaning if you'll invest yourself in Torah study and
so
you'll
so
grow
so
as a result,
so
that's the
teilechu.
That's that you're
the
going, you're traveling as a result of the Torah study.
That's
all I got for
you.
Oh,
that's how.